You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hi, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 116. Today's episode is all about what to do now in terms of how to experience New Orleans in the middle of this pandemic, as I record this in mid-July 2020. Whether you're here in New Orleans or many miles away from the city, we have something for you. Stay tuned to the end and I'll give you my opinion on visiting the city right now and, you know, a little bit of my crystal ball predictions. The last three episodes were all about New Orleans music. Specifically, I worked my way through the Historic New Orleans Collection's Music Madness Challenge. In the most recent episode, I had a fun visit with Eric Seifert. He's the curator who put the music bracket together. If you missed those three episodes, definitely go back and give them a listen. Then download Eric's YouTube or Spotify playlist and deep dive into the music for yourself. You can find all of that in the show notes, which will be over at beyondbourbonst.com. For this show, it'll be 116, and of course, the last one was 115. Let me know what you think. I've gotten a lot of good feedback about it, and it was a lot of fun to do. Today's episode is sponsored by our Patreon supporters. If you love this podcast, the Facebook group, or any of the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. Find out more at beyondbourbonst.com/Patreon, and we'll have a link in the show notes, too. A few dollars a month really helps me continue to share my lens in New Orleans with you, and I love doing this, so help me out if you can. We're also supported by our Beyond Bourbon Street partners, including NOLA Boards, Coast Roast Coffee, and NOLA T-Shirt of the Month. All of them are really great. They're run by great people, and they're fun businesses with products that I think you'll really enjoy, whether it's the cutting boards or fresh coffee and mugs or the subscription T-Shirts from NOLA T-Shirt of the Month Club. Anyway, head on over to the show notes for today's episode, again at beyondbourbonst.com/116, and you can find links to them and to their discount codes. With that, let's jump into the discussion. Again, I've done three episodes recently on music. We've been dealing with this pandemic for several months now, and one of the questions I get a lot in our Facebook group and by email is, what can I do now to enjoy the city, whether I'm coming to New Orleans or whether I live in the city, or maybe I miss it and I just want to experience it from afar? So I've come up with a list I'm going to share with you. Some of them longtime listeners have heard before. Hopefully I've found some new things for you, or maybe I'll just help you remember some things you hadn't thought about. These are in no particular list, no particular order other than how I thought them up. So we'll just jump in. The first one is visit City Park. Again, longtime listeners have heard me talk about the park. In many ways, I feel like City Park is at its peak in terms of my almost 50 years on the planet. I think it may be the best it's ever been. There's so much to do for so many different people, whatever your interest. We did actually a couple of episodes. Number 32 was about the history of City Park, and number 33 was 10 or 12 things to do in the park. So those are old episodes, but they're still relevant. They still hold up. One of the things that's great about City Park is that there's a lot to do, and outdoors, of course, and many, many of the things, most of the things in the park are free. The Sculpture Garden, which has grown considerably, probably doubled or tripled in size since I did that first episode about the park, was free until just a month or two ago, and now with everything being shut down, they've started to charge a small admission fee. I think it's $5 for adults. And I talked about the Sculpture Garden, I think, also back in episode 104. It's amazing. It's outdoors. It's right next to the New Orleans Museum of Art. You can get there on the streetcar. Easy parking nearby. You can ride your bike to it. It's a wonderful place to be social distanced and, again, outdoors. And just, it's a fun spot, whether you want to sit and read a book, whether you want to wander and take pictures, let the kids play a little bit, enjoy the sculpture. It's amazing. And they just continue to add to it. It's really nice. It's one of my favorite spots in a park that I really love. Number two, again, I've talked about this a lot, is the Old Grove of Oak Trees. So this is in City Park, right on the edge where Carrollton and City Park Avenue meet. And it kind of runs adjacent to City Park Avenue. beautiful spot. Again, on a warm day, you want to go enjoy some shade under the trees there. The Spanish moss dripping from the oak trees. You have the bayou right there. You can always see lots of interesting bird species, bird varieties there. There's a couple of fountains. Great spot for taking pictures or for having pictures made with a photographer. Several photographers are doing kind of socially distanced photography for families or things like that. So it's just always peaceful there, and I enjoy getting in there and exploring. There's a little bitty, or a couple of little bitty islands with WP-era walk bridges you can cross over. So it's just kind of a nice way, particularly right now we're in July, it's hot. You can get under the trees a little bit and enjoy yourself, but it's also fun all year round. So whenever you're here, if you're here in the fall and we have celebration in the oaks with all the Christmas lights, it's beautiful. And in that old grove, the train, which probably isn't running right now, but the City Park mini train goes right through that grove and it's lit up during Christmas time. So that's a really neat thing too. But the old grove is really... probably, I just said the Sculpture Garden is one of my favorites. It's a tie probably between the Sculpture Garden and the Old Grove, but again, both are outside. Another thing is if you want to get a little bit of exercise, maybe you've gained a few pounds during COVID, in front of the New Orleans Museum of Art is what's called Big Lake. And it is, if you could see it from above, and this gives me an idea for later, it has the same shape as Lake Pontchartrain right down the street. So there's the lake with a walking path, and then they took what used to be City Park South Golf Course. You cross a street. It's also a festival grounds now, but they took that golf course. It was a small, kind of like executive-style golf course, and they made a walking path out of it. So in the middle of it, you have this festival grounds. Among other things, they hold Voodoo Fest on those grounds, but a nice walking path. Some of it, probably half of it, is exposed to the sun, but then you get kind of under the trees. So really nice, and you can combine that with the walking path along the lake right there. You know, again, you'll see swans and you'll see birds, and it's just peaceful. You don't have to worry about traffic. So that's another option right there in the park. Kootiri Forest is number 4 on my list in City Park. So this is in a separate location than the other pieces I've talked about, but it is a... it's the highest point of elevation in New Orleans. I think it's 28 feet, so you got to watch out for altitude there. But you park, you go down Harrison Avenue, and it's kind of in the middle of the park. There's a little circle, a roundabout there. So you probably wouldn't walk there, but you could easily ride a bike or if you have a car. And it's a small forest with a small hill, but it's wooded, and it's a nice, you can wander through. There's a tiny lookout at the top, although in the summer there's not much to see. Again, it's 28 feet, but it's peaceful. As you wander the path, you get sights of some of the golf course land and some of what was formerly a golf course, but now just kind of abandoned land there in the park. And you get some good views of the lagoons, and if you're there and the light's right, really good, again, places to take nature photography there. And then adjacent to it, post-Katrina, they've rebuilt two of the golf courses. So they reopened one golf course and then they built like a PGA-style golf course in City Park. So there used to be 4 different courses in the park. Now there are 2. But adjacent to the forest there, or along Harrison Avenue, you'll see both the newly redesigned course, but also one that I think it was City Park West that is abandoned, essentially. They cut it every once in a while, but it's abandoned. There's no golf there, and the cart paths are still there. So you can wander through it. You see people walking dogs sometimes, people just walking through. Again, the grass tends to be really high, so I'm sure there's a little bit of wildlife in there. But it's a nice, peaceful area. And again, these are just a handful of things to do in City Park, all of which is accessible if you were staying downtown by streetcar. If you're local, obviously you know the park, but maybe you haven't thought of all these things in a while. A good place to just spend a couple hours and relax. And again, you can easily stay distance from other people or stay by yourself or your family, bring the dog in most cases. So really a good thing to do anytime, but certainly right now with COVID and trying to get out of the house and also, you know, get to enjoy the city a little bit. Number 2 on my list is the Lake Pontchartrain lakefront. And a couple of things there. So the lakefront has been closed on and off throughout the pandemic because it tends to get a lot of car traffic, people kind of going out there on the weekends and barbecuing and hanging out and enjoying the lake or, you know, enjoying watching. You don't really swim right there. But it hit me that I probably haven't talked about the lakefront very much. And one of the things you can do is go walk along the levee that separates the neighborhood there from the lakefront itself. You get really nice views of the lake, of course. You get views of different parts of the city, depending where you are. There's some gorgeous houses. And in some parts of, when you're up on the levee, you'll see between the levee and the houses, there's a walk path. In some places, there isn't. But it's a really nice view. It's a good walking path, running path. It's not paved, so if you are a runner, it's a little bit softer there. And then you can meander off of that. There's a couple of things I wanted to point out there. One, near sort of one end of the lakefront, off of Pontchartrain Boulevard, there is a lighthouse, which is not open right now, but is just a nice view, nice thing to take a picture of. You'll often see sailboats out there. But one of the things I like to do, and I'm going to just touch on this later too, is there is a Mardi Gras fountain out on the lakefront. And it was restored, gosh, maybe in the last 3 years or so. But around the fountain are plaques representing most, if not all, of the carnival crews, and certainly most of the original carnival organizations. And the plaques each have the insignia of the crew. And I think it has the date and maybe a sentence or two. It's outdoors again. It's free. It's an interesting thing to go see. And certainly if you're walking out there just looking to go throw a frisbee or just get out, it's interesting. And again, you can kind of learn a little bit of Mardi Gras history out there and get out on the lake. You can take in the levee. A little bit further along is something called West End Park. So before Katrina, West End, there's a yacht club, two yacht clubs actually out there, and some boathouses. But there used to be a bunch of seafood restaurants, historically, going back quite a ways. And in fact, if you've watched the movie The Big Easy, which we talked about a few episodes back, I think, there's a scene near the end where they're celebrating the main character gets out of jail or gets off of a charge of police corruption. But they're having like a fête au dos, a dance party, on a little island at a house, and it's really right there. It's the what was called the Brüning Island. But the reason is that Brüning's was a seafood restaurant that, until Katrina, was the second or third oldest restaurant in the city and out at West End. Really, it was a great place, mom-and-pop kind of seafood place, right out on piers over the lake, and there were a couple restaurants there. It was really neat, because particularly when storms would roll in, it was a great place to sort of just see the storms on the lake. Well, that's all gone now, but right there is a park. It's relatively small, but it's a nice little walking path. Again, you can walk along and see some of the boats. There's a little boathouse at the end that I don't know if they're open right now, but they had a tiny little bar opening, like to just open right onto one of the slips or canals right there where you could have a drink and be shaded. And anyway, it's quiet out there. The lakefront and the lakefront levee, if you haven't been, is really pretty neat. The other thing you have right out there, not that far from the Mardi Gras fountains, if you climbed over the levee, which is not nearly as hard as it sounds, there's a neighborhood back there. And that neighborhood, it has a series of walking paths that interconnect, kind of go behind the houses. So almost all of the streets are cul-de-sacs, and they are woven together by this network of walking paths, and then there's common areas, and they're all heavily shaded with oak trees. It's a really neat, when I was a kid, I used to run. I've been a runner since I was 11, and we used to go run back there because it was paved, it was quiet, or you could run on the grass. There was no traffic, and it was a great place to get a bunch of miles in without without having to deal with traffic. So that's a great spot. And I was just thinking about, gosh, if you wanted to do something, this is not like something you would do on a first or second visit to New Orleans, but if you're here or you just wanted to spend some time in the city, but you wanted to get kind of away because there's not a lot of stuff going on and you just wanted to be quiet and maybe just see a part of the city you hadn't seen before, that would be fun. Where those bird streets are, it's part of what's called Lake Vista. Again, walking along the lakefront, walking along the levee there, the Mardi Gras fountain, the bird streets, the walking path, going out to West End, the park there, you could easily get some exercise and spend some time. And of course, you could have an adult beverage or a glass of lemonade out there and get a little bit of exercise and enjoyment. And again, be socially distanced. So that's the second thing on my list was the lakefront levee. The third is the riverfront. So often along the river, it's crowded, right? But right now, with so much being closed, it's a good time. And again, I was thinking about the heat early in the morning or just before sunset. Wandering the riverfront is beautiful. It never gets old listening to and seeing the river traffic, everything from barges and ferries to ocean liners come around the bend right there. If you're near the French Quarter, you can obviously go down to the Marigny and the Bywater, both of which we've talked about on previous episodes. Crescent Park is a lovely walking path, jogging path down there. And in the other direction, if you head uptown, you can go behind Audubon Park, behind Audubon Zoo, and go out on what locals call the Fly, the part of the River Batcher. There is there's soccer fields and baseball fields, but there's a nice stretch. You park, and then between the parking lot and the river is just a green patch and also a little walking path. It does get a little crowded sometimes because lots of New Orleanians are looking to do that as well. But that's a beautiful place on an evening that looks like it's going to have a nice sunset. Maybe there's a little bit of breeze. So the riverfront, all just up and down. Again, whether you're down all the way down into the Bywater or all the way uptown. And even beyond uptown, you can get on the Mississippi River levee and go all the way out to the Bonnie Carey Spillway on a bike if you wanted to. All along there, great views of the river. For the most part, you're going to be exposed to the heat. There's not that much shade, except along near the Fly, there's some shade. But, you know, again, getting out, getting to see different scenes, it's easy to just go spend a few minutes there and trying to think about things to do outside. So I know we don't live that far from the river, and whenever it looks like a nice evening, if we have a few minutes to spare, I love to dart out there and just enjoy the evening. So you might enjoy that as well. Next up on my list are the streetcars. They haven't been that crowded, and so that's an option. I probably wouldn't ride on the Canal Street streetcars right now, the red ones, just because they're enclosed. They have air conditioning, which is nice, but they're enclosed. But the green ones, the windows come down. They are not air conditioned. These are the original ones along the St. Charles streetcar line. But there's almost always a breeze, particularly these days. The streetcar's not going to be crowded, so that's nice. You can sit near the window. And even if you don't want to ride, if you don't feel comfortable just taking in the streetcars, walking along St. Charles Avenue and getting some good photos or just watching them go by, there's an audio soundtrack in my head of New Orleans. And part of it is always the rumbling of those streetcars along the St. Charles line and then the kind of clack, clack, clack as they come to a stop and then resume maybe at a stoplight or waiting for a car to pass because they're electric streetcars, right? So they go to a dead silence and then they kind of rumble back to life. So whether it's to go just kind of observe the streetcars or ride them, I think that's another opportunity. Another group, and this could sort of be, we could do a whole episode on this. I'm a fan of the podcast 99% Invisible with Roman Mars. Probably many of you are as well. And one of the things Roman talks about all the time are finding the plaques or reading the plaques. Always read the plaque is what he says. And in New Orleans, there are a ton of plaques. And so that would be a fun thing to do. It is a fun thing to do, to go just look for various plaques. There are probably a couple of hundred of them in the city, but just a couple I'll highlight here to kind of get you going and things along those lines. One, I mentioned again, the Mardi Gras fountain, lots of plaques out there commemorating the different carnival crews. There are jazz houses, so houses where great jazz musicians lived throughout the city. You will find plaques on houses just commemorating who lived there and when they lived there. I will try to find a link. There might be a website specifically for the Jazz Fest, or not Jazz Fest, but for those plaques of jazz houses. If I can find that, I will put a link over in the show notes at beyondbourbonst.com/116. There is in the last couple of years, there have been several signs put up as a testament or accounting of the slave trade that happened here in New Orleans. One of them is the slave market sign on Esplanade Avenue, just outside of the French Quarter. Again, Esplanade Avenue is a street with a neutral ground, and this particular sign is in the neutral ground, but it's certainly an interesting thing to go find that sign and also do a little bit of reading about the slave trade here in New Orleans if you haven't, and just to stand there and kind of think and picture where all of that was. So that's a sign, and there are several now around town that talk about various facets of that and try to commemorate, obviously, what was a not good time, a horrible time in our history. But the slave market sign on Esplanade is one that's really striking to me. One of the things you might not think about that are plaques of a sort around city or the around our city are the water meter covers. So you've probably seen it kind of has a starburst pattern with like shooting lines coming away from the stars, and it says New Orleans Water Meter. Well, many of the water meters in the city are just under the surface and are covered with these water meter covers. And you'll see lots of decorative jewelry and t-shirts and glassworks with this pattern on it. So it's just something to go look for. Some of them have been painted by the owners of the houses. Some have been just randomly decorated. But it's interesting to go look for them or just be observant of them all over the city. And so while maybe not a traditional plaque, they're fun to go look for and take pictures of. Kind of along the same thing, similar, in the French Quarter are all these Spanish plaques on the walls that aren't the sort of bronze plaques that you might think of, but they are Spanish tiles that tell a little bit of the story of what the street was called or what its Spanish name is, as well as the actual buildings. And there are plenty of them, so that's a fun thing to do as well. If you have kids and you're trying to wander around, that could be a good scavenger hunt. Some of the plaques, some of the street signs, some of the water meter covers. And again, it's just you can have a lot of fun with it, particularly if you're a photographer. Kind of along the same lines are pocket parks in New Orleans. There are plenty of them. One interesting fact we learned from Richard Campanella in one of the early episodes on the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast is that in Uptown New Orleans, often when you see a pie-shaped pocket park, what it is the remnants of are those were all plantations. And so as the plantations were sold and subdivided, if two neighboring plantations weren't sold at the same time, and they typically weren't, you would have a surveyor come in and divide up the land and plot it out. But you would end up with this kind of wedge because everything originated from the river and then came in, right, in terms of measurement towards or just beyond St. Charles Avenue. So you would end up with these little slivers in between two plantations where when they went to sell it off, they couldn't really do anything with the little slivers. So sometimes they would just make it a park. And so today when you see those, it's a reminder of the geography or of the separation of what was almost certainly plantation land. In fact, it was all plantation land. But when you see a park like that, it's a good indication that you're right at what would have been the edge of two different plantations. What you have today are little pocket parks here and there. So just a couple of parks that grab my attention. We actually already mentioned the Lake Vista Bird Streets, the park out there. I think that's a lot of fun and kind of a hidden thing people don't think about. I mentioned the Fly, so the Mississippi River Batcher behind Audubon Park. But here's a couple small ones. Sophie B. Wright Park, which is also sometimes called the Magazine Street Triangle. It is near Grigri, for those of you that know Grigri, and also close to the Munch Factory, which is one of my favorite restaurants in town. I hope they come back soon. And also is very close to where Patty Dunn, former guest on the show, had Chop Industries. Chop Industries still exists, but online only. But that little park right there at that kind of Marigny or Magazine Street Triangle is a neat little park. It's small. There's a lot of traffic there, but it's kind of a good stopping spot. And there's a statue there. Again, it's Sophie B. Wright Park. There's a statue by Enrique Alvarez. And again, if you listen to the early episodes about City Park, then you know that there are many statues and artwork there done by Enrique Alvarez. Another one that's a real gem not too far from there is Coliseum Square in the Lower Garden District. There is a fountain there. It's a relatively small park, but then there's a walking path that branches off from it. Gorgeous houses right along the park there. Some shade, of course, and also a little bit of space to kind of stretch out or throw a frisbee or walk the dog. But that's a nice little park and really not far from the back end of the Warehouse District, if you will. West End Park, I mentioned, out by the Yacht Club and right there on the lake. There's a park called Clouet Gardens in the Bywater, and this is definitely a pocket park. It's really, again, a garden of sorts with a couple benches, some artwork, a nice little place to just kind of duck in and relax. Mystery Park in Mid-City, right on Esplanade, right up towards City Park. There's a little park. It goes by different names, but I've always known it as Mystery Park. So again, it's a small pocket park. It's really like a garden. It's a neat little spot. And you are right there, close to Canseco's Foods, Terra Nova, very close to Cafe Degas. There's a couple little coffee shops in there. You're not far from Grand Route Bayou St. John. You would be very, very close, or you are very close to the fairgrounds where Jazz Fest is held. Of course, not this year, but that's a neat little park. And then you are very close to Bayou St. John, so you could walk along the bayou there as well. There are plenty of little parks, plenty of little green spaces here in New Orleans, and this is as good a time as any to go enjoy those. So if you're looking to wander around, that would be something to do. Number seven, I haven't been keeping track, but it's number seven on my list of notes here, is photography. So I've mentioned that, but this is a great time to go out and take photography or take some great photos. The French Quarter and the Garden District don't have probably a tenth, if that, of the foot traffic that we normally have. So it's a good time to go take photos. And really also, it always feels like in the French Quarter, particularly in the busier streets, Bourbon and Royal and Decatur, when I'm there often, I'm just sort of trying to avoid running into people or having people run into me or traffic and all that stuff. And right now, one of the positives, I guess, in a really horrible situation is that since there aren't many people there, it's a good time to be on foot and to take your time and explore. And that makes it a great moment for photography. I've seen lots of shots that I have typically not seen in the way that they're framed because there's usually people all around. And now the quarter is very quiet and the Garden District doesn't have tours going through it right now. And while I miss those tours and miss my friends like Katrina at NOLA Architecture Tour and my sponsor, Christine Miller at Two Chicks Walking Tours, I want them to get out and get back into those tours soon. Right now what it means is there aren't very many tourists wandering around. And so it's just a chance to take your time and get some great shots of whether it's the architecture or the streetcars or the French Quarter or whatever it might be. I've talked many times about photography in City Park, that old grove and the WPA bridges and some of the statuary and the fountains, just fabulous for photography. I recently have started flying a drone, a DJI Mavic Air 2, for those of you interested, to hopefully get to share with you all through some of my online presence and my Patreon account, some images and viewpoints of the city that we don't typically get to see. And I have seen more and more drone pilots flying and posting photography of the city, probably again, because there's time and you just get some interesting viewpoints right now. So whether you like traditional photography or you snap photos with your phone or a drone, I think those are all great things to do and go explore the city without having to interact and get in close quarters with lots of people. I mentioned number eight on my list. I already mentioned it, but watching the river traffic. Again, there's so many viewpoints. I love to spend an evening at the Fly uptown. Similarly, you get beautiful views of the river from the other end if you go downtown, downriver, to the Marigny and the Bywater, whether you're in Crescent Park or all the way down to the end where the levee is and the industrial canal that separates the Bywater from the upper Ninth Ward. So many options to see so many different views of the river, so that is a great time to do that. Another thing you can do, most of these I've mentioned you would do locally, but WWOZ, a treasure of a radio station. Many, probably most of you are familiar with WWOZ, but one of the things that they typically do is they have a listing on their website called the Live Wire, which is a listing of all the live music shows in the city. Well, because there aren't live music venues right now, they have converted that to their online Live Wire. And we'll definitely put a link to this. If you're in the Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street crew, I linked to a couple of performances today. I'm recording this, I should know that. I think it's July 20th, a Saturday. Maybe I'm off a day. You know, with COVID, it's hard to remember. The days all blend together. But anyway, WWOZ, which is such a resource anyway for all things music in New Orleans, they're posting the links to live shows. So today at noon, I watched John Cleary, who I'm a Patreon supporter of John's, but a terrific pianist. And today he had, he's been doing a various series, but today he was doing what he called a piano lesson And so for the period of time that I tuned in, he was showing tenths, playing tenths on the piano, and he was talking about how Mac Rabinack, Dr. John, used to play them, and he was playing them in different styles, and it was fascinating to see. And of course, when musicians play online these days, you can tip them through PayPal or Cash App or Venmo or become a Patreon supporter. And so WWOZ's done a great job of kind of shifting and helping to celebrate and promote these musicians in a different way, since they can't perform, you know, live in person. It's a great way to enjoy New Orleans music, again, whether you're here or you're somewhere else. So if you're not here, if you are here, you probably listen regularly. If you're not here, you can listen online. So you can listen on their website. I think you can get it through TuneIn Radio and probably plenty of other apps. I have a good Twitter friend who needs to become a guest on this show, DJ Soul Sister, who has a regular slot, almost every night, I think, on WWOZ. If you're missing New Orleans or you're here in New Orleans, you're missing live music, not only check out WWOZ's own stream, but go check out the listings. There are daily, 7 days a week, shows being played. And so that's a fun way to connect and also to support local artists. Similarly, Offbeat Magazine has their listing. They call it the weekly live stream listing. It's interesting that the two don't fully overlap. I checked them today, and there were some, each of them had listings for today that the other one didn't have, and then they had some overlapping, of course. Offbeat Magazine has had to shift to a digital format. They had a print magazine that was free that you could find, in lots of shops and restaurants and groceries around town. Now they've had to shift to a digital presence almost exclusively, and also I think they might have a subscription now, although most of their content is free. But there's where you can not only get listings of live music where you can support, but you can also just read about music and some of the challenges and some of the history. So Offbeat Magazine is a great resource. Typically, when I'm going to do anything about music on this show, I look at both Offbeat and WWOZ, and so those are good resources for you, too. We have done many shows, including the last three, with the Historic New Orleans Collection. They have a lot of online content now, and they're putting more out all the time. So, again, if you were wanting to explore New Orleans virtually, looking at the Historic New Orleans Collection's online collection, this is a great time to do it and a great way to immerse yourself in various history presentations about New Orleans. Number 12 on my list is a great magazine based in out of New Orleans but focused on Louisiana called 64 Parishes. So my friend Erin Greenwald is the editor there, and you might remember Erin. She was on the show, it's been almost 2 years now, where we did a show about 300 years of New Orleans, so the celebration of the tricentennial. And at the time, she was working at the Historic New Orleans Collection and had just done an exhibit about the founding of New Orleans. But she is the editor of 64 Parishes, which is a fabulous magazine. It's sponsored by the Hellas Foundation, and I'm drawing a blank, and I don't have it in front of me. I'm very sorry, Erin. Their website is great, where you can read a lot of the materials, and then you can and should support them but by subscribing to the magazine. But that's a great place. Again, 64 Parishes. There are 64 parishes in Louisiana. They don't focus solely on New Orleans, by definition. In fact, they've tried really hard over the last couple of years to track their articles. They did go back and track their articles and see how much they talked about the various parishes and tried to fill in those gaps, if you will. The content is great. The writers are terrific. They often just cover things either from a different angle or more in depth than I've seen before. So again, if you're looking for a way to experience New Orleans and Louisiana kind of virtually, I would certainly go check out 64 Parishes, and we'll put a link. They have a great Facebook page. They have a very good website. And again, I'd encourage you to support them. They're not a sponsor. I just really appreciate the effort of the journalists and writers and of Erin there. I find myself going to it more and more as I just sort of want to explore my home virtually. Number 13, and again, I don't know if I've how I've covered this, but it's 13 on my bulleted list here, my numbered list, is listen to podcasts about New Orleans. Certainly you're listening to one now, and that means that you enjoy podcasts. Tripod, again, I had the host Lane on a couple years ago. Tripod is dormant now. It's run its course, but the episodes are still out there. And Tripod was built in anticipation of the run-up to the tricentennial of New Orleans. There's so much good content there that's still out there. So Tripod's a good one. New Orleans Unsolved is a relatively new one about sort of, it's a New Orleans take on unsolved crime. I'm not a big true crime. I get lots of nightmares as it is, so I don't need to. I don't need any help with that. But it's done by a former reporter here in New Orleans. It's really well done. They already have maybe, 20 episodes. So that's a good one. Louisiana Eats by Poppy Tooker is fun and upbeat and interviews with people involved in the restaurant business, the food culture of New Orleans. Again, another former guest, Ed Branley, has NOLA History Guy. That's a good podcast. And Voodoo City, done by Bobby Scott. Really well done. Kind of not necessarily unsolved mysteries, but kind of along those veins. And there are plenty more. But listen to podcasts about New Orleans. It's a good time to, again, dive in. And while you're socially distancing and maybe getting some exercise or whatever it is we're all doing these days, that's a good thing to do. So that's 13 topics and probably, I didn't add it up, probably 30 different things, most of which, well, almost all of which, with the possible exception of the streetcar, you can easily do social distanced. A few of them, a handful of them, are things you can do whether you are here or away. And most of the ones that you would think you need to be in person, you know, it's a good time to explore online and do Google Maps and Google Earth and some of these online exhibits and really get to see. It's been interesting as you start to see people adjust their small businesses and give content in different ways. So, you know, it's a frustrating time, it's a scary time, but it's also a time to sort of see things in a new way. So I would encourage you to be a part of that and explore New Orleans that way. So now we're almost at 40 minutes, and I promised you if you stayed to the end, I'd kind of give you my thoughts. It's hard as a New Orleanian knowing how dependent the city is on tourism, but if I were telling a friend or a family member, my advice is don't come right now. It's July, and I am not a medical expert, but I just see what's happening. Cases, as I record this, cases of coronavirus are spiking again in the city. A lot of things are not open. So people ask every day in our Facebook group about live music. There is no live, you can't go in live music clubs right now. So businesses are trying to get creative, but for the most part, you can't have gatherings. So there's not much of that. There are some porch concerts. I did a little snippet of video the other day from a porch concert, but even then people were sitting 20 feet apart and the band was playing on a front porch and I was sitting on the neutral ground. It's just a time where you're not going to be able to go out to eat. You're not going to be able to go to music clubs. There's not going to be the sort of exuberance of music and sounds and people in the streets that there normally is. And while I've covered a lot of things that you can go do, and if you are going to be here, these are things I would recommend you do, I just think it's a time that it's probably not the best time to come. There's no festivals. There's so much of the ways that we traditionally have shared the city with you just aren't possible right now. So you can certainly make the best of it, and I think there are lots of things to do, but not the typical things. So if I were going to advise someone, should I come? Should I save my dollars? Should I do something else? I would say right now, stay home and be safe and take care of your family and do some of the things we talked about on the show. Having said that, I wanted to give things that are relevant now that you can do from afar or if you do come in. And also, if you listen to this 2 years from now, I think these are things I would recommend you do anytime. Even if we jump forward and we have a vaccine and life gets back to some new normal, these are things that that we do as a family and that I do individually and that I would certainly encourage you to do. In terms of my crystal ball, people in our Facebook group, you know, all the time are asking now, hey, should I come in the fall? What do you think it'll be? What about the spring? Who knows, right? As I record this, there are still plans to have football. I would not at all be shocked to see those altered or not have many fans in the stands. As much as it pains people in Louisiana, it wouldn't shock me to hear that LSU is not going to play in the fall or that the SEC is not going to play. As I record this right now, that's all still kind of scheduled to happen, but I think they're starting to make those decisions in the next week or two. You know, they've already had the Rose Bowl parade in January has already been canceled in California. And so I think no one here really wants to think about it yet, but no one can honestly tell you what's going to happen with Mardi Gras. We are just under 7 months from Mardi Gras Day as I record this. And so on the one hand, that seems kind of far away. And on the other, it doesn't seem so very far away. So, you know, I obviously don't really have a crystal ball, but I do not. As much as I feel for my fellow small business owners, and I want so badly to be able to go out to eat and to enjoy some live music and have a drink inside the Avenue Pub with Polly Watts and the gang there in St. Charles Avenue, I just don't know when it's going to change. And I would not be, I think it's fine to plan as long as you have alternative plans or you can get out of those plans without incurring a lot of financial cost. I am hopeful that one of my regular sponsors, the Old 77 Hotel, will be able to open soon. I know that they were hoping and talking about opening in August, and we'll see. But I think that you're just not going to see, you just need to know if you come to New Orleans right now, and probably in the foreseeable future, you're coming to a different city. Just like if we came to visit your city, your town, things are just different, and they just are. If you can adapt to that and use this list in New Orleans and use similar lists in other places, then I think you make the best of it and you know that it'll be a different experience, but it'll be a great experience. But if you're planning a trip to New Orleans and thinking, oh, there'll be live music and there'll be festivals and I'll be able to go to nice restaurants, and that stuff's just not going to happen right now. So I don't want to be a downer, but I do want to be realistic. Again, I've tried to give you things to do whether you're away or you're here, and I hope you will do some of those things. I would love to hear about it if you do. You can let me know by email. You can let me know online. We'd love for you to join our Facebook group if you're on Facebook at the Beyond Bourbon Street crew. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Beyond Bourbon ST. I would love for you to become a Patreon supporter for a couple dollars a month and help support the show. Again, thank you so much for joining me today. Be sure to check out our show notes at beyondbourbonst.com/116 for the information on Patreon, but also for links with our sponsors and some of the websites and things we talked about today. New episodes are typically available every other Wednesday. I've been a little off with that during COVID. I'm sorry about that. Doing the best I can. But if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.